Alright, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is the Empress Hour. I've got the Empress here.
Wow, don't we have quite the conversation coming up for today? Super excited about this.
Sounds good. For the record, I've got a sleep mask on right now. I'm giving my eyes a rest because I have to make 3 hours more of freaking content after this because I was in so much pain. So, making a long story short before you get into it, I lean my neck up against my bed, and I don't know why I did that. I guess I was tired and I was using it as like a pillow or something. Just not a good idea. Because you know how some people get a stiff neck? Well, I got a pinched nerve in that area. And that area has always been a point of contention because I used to headbang a lot. I still kind of do. And that made it to where, you already have damage there. So now it's going to be 10 million times worse. So, I was able to work a little bit, and of course, you know, I couldn't really get ice packs, so I had to pick up some groceries, and I took a bag of, what was it, peas and carrots, and I put it inside of a cloth, because I have a little washcloth or whatever that I keep in my locker, you know, just to put like a hot pack or something like that if I ever have pain. So I basically took that peas and carrots and put it on there, and I worked like that with one hand holding the peas and carrots up against my back because I was in so much pain and me trying to do my job at the same time. So the next day, there was just no going to work at all because that night, oh my God, I wanted to make content so bad and I couldn't. Like I said earlier on the show, I couldn't even move my fucking arms. It's like, what the hell? I've never been this paralyzed before. I said, okay, I'll just watch the game I was going to play on YouTube. And, I mean, that worked. And I went to bed. Of course, then I had pain. And it's like, oh, well, you think you're going to sleep. No, I'm going to keep you up. So pain did that. And I, like I said, didn't go to work the next day. And the pain wasn't as bad when I woke up, thank God. I was actually able to move my neck without it hurting. And then after that, the next day, we did the show. I was able to move things around. It was perfect. I mean, it was good, but not great. And then, of course, I went to the movie theater on Sunday, saw Terrifier 3. Have a lot to talk about on that, but not right now. And then, of course, today, when I don't have any fucking pain, or barely any pain, like, not noticeable, my pain went from 8 to 2 to now it's like 1, or maybe 0.5. So I'm actually feeling a lot better, and my body was giving me a warning. It's like, hey, dumbass, if you decide to lay your neck up against the bed again, it's probably going to pull another nerve or pinch another nerve, and you better not pick up anything too fucking heavy, because then you'll pinch that nerve again. Now, I work a job where I have to pick up freight, but I can always just be like, you know what? Can't pick up that. I can pick this up, but I won't pick that up. And I just have to be really easy. That's pretty much all it is. I'll let my boss know and all that. It should be okay. But,
I'm glad you're on the up and up.
Yeah, and it sucked as I couldn't lift weights because obviously you don't want to do that with a pinched nerve. So I have to, you know, I've been out of that for a while. So I'll have to really jump back into that and probably start with the 20s because the 30s and 40s is not going to be a good idea right now. So, all right.
Speaking of lifting weights, holy shit, talking mushrooms.
Well, why don't you go ahead and start from the whole thing. Now, you had left a scathing message. I was like, okay, first you're like, oh, everything is awesome and it's great. And then the next day you're like, perhaps you're right about AI and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, and I'm over here.
I was like, pussy ain't shit. No, I was like, pussy's dead. Dick ain't shit. We're all better off with the AI partners.
And I was like, okay, this sounds weird coming from you. And of course, I was in the middle of grocery shopping with, by the way, that bag of beans actually pressed up against I was shopping while I was doing that because I still had to shop even though I was in immense pain. So,
you gotta get shit done.
Yeah, gotta get shit done. So basically, what happened?
Well, okay, so am I still in the room here?
Yeah, okay, you're good. Yeah. Everything's fine.
Okay, my screen is just weird. Okay, so let me try. Okay, so was that, let me go over real quick, because my timeline, I'm always so bad with time.
But, okay.
So was that before I found out that I have the FBB?
This was Saturday.
Fetish thing?
This was Saturday. Last Saturday.
Last Saturday. So yeah, that was before I found out. Okay, so you know, with my partner, I've been working on, like, dismantling my own shame on sexuality, my personal sexuality, and of course, trying to understand and accept pornography, because it's like just so pervasive now.
Right.
There's really no idea. There's really no point in like completely being like, no, fuck this. No one can watch it. No one can do it. No one, you know, that's not realistic, and I'm never gonna find happiness like expecting unrealistic things from the person that I love, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been working on all of that, and you know, things were going great. We opened up, we got to a new level, we were like sharing this. He was like so excited that he got to share this side of himself with me, and that it was safe, and I was accepting it, that it really like improved our connection. But then, I was like, hello, can you still hear me?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay, but then, so I had been, you know, trying to, you know, make love with him for a while, and I did it, like, I was so blatantly obvious. I said what I wanted. I mean, it was so clearly obvious, but he was still distracted and didn't do anything. And I was like, okay, that's it, I'm done. I give up on relationships. We're better off with sex toys and AI partners. This is ridiculous. Like, what else can I do? I don't know what else to do. Like, obviously,
right.
He's not even attracted to me. He's like, where I was at. Like, what the heck? What is going on here?
Yeah, I get it. It was becoming what they call a dead bedroom situation.
Oh, what is that?
That's when the sex is gone in the relationship, and there's no sex. It's just a dead bedroom. There's nothing going on other than sleep. Now, it can get to such an extent.
Is this the beginning or midterm in a relationship?
They've been married for 4 years.
No, what? Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. Basically.
So then, how did we get into the... You sent me a video. Will you go ahead and describe the video? Because you'll probably do a much better job than I do.
A video? What? Which one?
Yeah, the video you sent me.
Lee Carose. Yeah, she was one of the girls I found out on Twitter. Because there's so many FBBs out there, it's really hard for me to tell. And, yeah, she was talking about, because I never heard her talk. Like, I've seen her sexual stuff, but I've never heard her speak. And I was like, oh, cool. So she makes videos on YouTube and talks about different things. And she doesn't do, like, just sexy videos. She does, you know, topical, like we do. So she was talking about something that is very concerning. Now... Part of me is like, yay, and part of me is like, whoa. It's basically where I'm conflicted on either way. AI is getting really good, and I'm talking about with the movie stuff. But it's not even really that she was talking about. She was talking about there are a lot of AI, women that don't exist that are getting a lot of attention from men. Like, men are really getting into
and
all these...
I think she was also, like, throwing shade on women who use AI to like Photoshop and enhance their photos.
Yeah, because they've been doing that. But they've been doing Photoshop and stuff like that for years. I mean, way before AI was even really popular as it is now. But now they've got women that don't even exist. And they're like, and it's not even to the point that like they don't exist. They can't exist. Like, I showed you some things that are not, like, they can't happen in this reality. We have women that just do not, like, right out of fiction, which is fine for fantasy. It's nothing different to me than I think a drawing or anything like that. But the problem is a lot of these guys are, you know, clinging to this and they're treating it like it's a real person. And I'm like, oh, that's an issue. Of course, I mean, in some areas, you definitely know, you know, it's just a fantasy, like something that can't possibly exist. Or, where the woman with the extremely large breasts that most wouldn't even be able to move over, right? That was just incredible. I've never seen anything like that. And it was moving. It was a moving image, like a video. And I'm like, this is incredible because we can do this with AI just now. And they're already doing other things with like the muscle girls that I've seen with the AI. And I'm like, oh, wow, that doesn't look bad anymore. Because when they first started out with the movies, you could see a lot of like issues. Like it wasn't, it didn't look realistic. But now it's getting to that point where it's starting to actually move in a way that like, oh, wow, that this can be something. This is going to be what people fap to in like 2028 or something. And I mean, I do have my worries about that because, well, I mean, I like these things, but you can't expect people to look like that. And what she's worried about is that these will bring an unhealthy, and I mean extremely unhealthy, image for young people. Because they're like, oh, now I have to look like AI. And you can't look like AI. If somebody goes out...
with fiction, and AI is just mirroring the types of fiction people want. So it's not really changing, it's just a flavor.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that there are definitely young people out there that have changed their... like, a lot of guys are trying to become incredibly muscled, and all these women are trying to get, like, the fake boobs and butts and everything else. Like, they're just going crazy because they want to match the Instagram image, right? The Instagram image was first, before AI was even a thing. That was all about hot bodies, you know? And that was just the big thing that the dating apps and all that started. And now we're moving into an unrealistic imagery of AI, where the girls that were doing the Instagram thing are saying, okay, the Instagram thing is no longer enough. Now I have to try to look that. And that is impossible.
I agree with Hoshione that like we've already had this, but I also agree with her point because AI is taking it to a new realistic level that even Photoshop even surpasses like the effects of Photoshop that it had on us.
And is
it the new problem AI is specifically going to create is when people are just using it to make AI videos of people who wouldn't do it,
right?
And just simulate it,
right?
Oh, look, you took a few photos of the girl next door, and you got her doing things that are questionable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, don't forget, there's also the situation that just happened where there was a young woman that basically had her picture stolen and they used AI images of her to say, oh, is this you? And it's like, no, that's not me. And it said, but look, I see you on OnlyFans. Here's your account and here's pictures. It's like, that woman's not me. And that's going to be a problem. That's going to be a big problem.
Yeah.
So
that's scary.
But again, the unrealism that people are trying to get. Now, I know some people know it's a fetish, but the problem is a lot of younger people that are still developing in the brain, they don't know.
Right.
Like, yeah. And this is something I discussed with a bunch of adult.
This is what happened with the porn being so available and free access to our gen. But this is scarier because this isn't even like made up stories that we can like refute. Like this is a little bit how are we going to teach them to tell the difference?
I just talked to a woman about this. I feel
like we're going to need to have labels on the internet, like everything else has labels on it. And I hate to say that, but like, yeah.
That seems to be the reason they let us have these AI toys, so they could give us a means to have the self-censor the internet.
That's actually a good point.
When anyone can fake anything, the system's got a solution in their back pocket for when this goes out of control inevitably.
Right. Now, what I...
I didn't even think of that.
So, you know, I was talking about all this with a girl in an adult game server. I don't know if she's one of the content or one of the game creators or developers. I don't know who I was talking with. I just, you know, somebody that I was talking about the legislation coming down and stuff. And, you know, she was putting her thoughts on it and talking about how it was back in our day finding pornography for the first time and all that kind of thing. But, yeah, so... I mean, the AI thing, for me, it's just, again, it's fantasy. Again, it's all fantasy. And I don't think that people need to, you know, especially when you've got a developing brain, they don't need to see that as reality. And the issue is that when a lot of the young men saw pornography, because we have such a shitty sex education system in the United States, we have one of the shittiest, and other countries are telling us that. So basically, these young men said, well, I don't know anything about sex, so I'll go watch Pornhub. So then they're watching this violent, brutal, sometimes, you know, not talking Terrifier, brutal. Well, we're talking, you know, some crazy stuff that you don't do when you meet a woman for the first time, basically. And a lot of these young girls had never had sex before in their life. And they're like, okay, this guy's choking me and he's doing all this other stuff. And it's really not cool. And, you know,
that would be terrifying.
And she gets done and she's traumatized because she
what the fuck just happened.
Yeah.
So she's imagining her first time to be like some special thing, because that's how girls are. We're like, oh, it's a really special thing, you know, and it's supposed to be this big grand moment, right? And then she gets that, then it's like, oh, what just happened? Like, I thought I was gonna do one thing and then it ended up being a different thing, and I'm not okay with that.
And the young man, basically, the young men, they're like, well, I didn't know. I saw all the girls in porn like it, and that's the only thing I know. That's the only thing I know of sex is porn. And that was the problem. That's why they're trying to do all this. I've been looking, guys. I haven't done anything on this yet, but I was on XBiz, and I found 3 fucking articles in the past couple of weeks where they are passing so many anti-porn legislations. It's ridiculous. So, first of all, the biggest thing I have to report is Shady Corner Games lost their Patreon today. That's a long Patreon.
Oh, no.
Patreon's been available for a long, long time. That guy's been supported on that for a very, very long time. Shady Corner didn't even really do that crazy of games. They did, like, Shady Lewd Cart. It had, like, cartoon funny images at best. And he's really upset. He's trying to figure out how the hell he's going to, you know, get anything to work. And plus, he's got all these people that are underneath him that he was helping in the adult games community. And he's freaking out. Yeah, he's on there. But it's not as big as Patreon. So, also, a lot of...
If people want to support him, they'll find him.
Yeah, that's what I keep thinking. But... Also, itch.io, they've changed their stuff around a lot, and according to what I've heard from devs, they're moving their shit too, because there's too much, basically, they're changing their policies on a lot of things. So, Patreon's knocking people down, and they're the biggest. So, Subscribestar has the chance to be the biggest. They're in Russia, though, and I don't know how that's going to work. It's very...
I don't think Russia cares.
Maybe they don't. But I don't know. But the problem is they still use the Visa and MasterCard and all those. They still use those. And that's the issue. Because It's not necessarily the payment processor. It's Visa and MasterCard that are the issue. That's what people are having problems with. Those are the ones telling people they can't have porn. Those are the ones that are supporting, like, the anti-porn legislation.
Well, as long as they don't try to get an iOS app, they're fine. It's every time they try to get an iOS app or whatever it is, and they get the phone app, then they have to capitulate to be on the Google and Apple store.
Well, yeah, I get that. I get that, but that's not, again, because Dempasoft had this problem. Dempa has never had an app. And basically, they were told by Visa and MasterCard that they had to remove a certain number of games off their site, or they could no longer process Visa and MasterCard. It was pretty hardcore, and they were the first one hit. So he got really upset. He's like, man, there's really nothing I can do. I can't get these games back on here. And they basically got rid of those games because Visa and MasterCard said so. So again, a lot of these companies are getting hit, even if they don't have an app on the iOS store, which I understand what you're saying, but you know, these companies in particular don't. And I don't think Subscribestar has an app on the iOS store or anything like that. I don't know if they have an app or not. I'm not sure on that one. But what I am saying is they're pushing. They're pushing pretty hard. They were pushing the manga industry in Japan. They were telling the manga industry what they can and can't put out. And that's been rough.
Manga kind of... Your Japan kind of fucked themselves over when they started accepting foreign money because the foreign money comes with strings.
Yep. That's true. That's absolutely true. That's why DL Site closed off their business where you have to buy tokens. Because it's like, okay, you can buy our games, but you have to buy tokens and you can use the tokens to buy our games. Which is probably the best way to go about it. Because then I can use my Visa and MasterCard to buy a token. And the token can be used to buy any kind of, you know, game I want, right? So that's probably how it's going to work. Unfortunately, you know, Subscribestar, I don't know if it'll hold out. If Russia's going to do what it wants to do and keep it, that'd be great. But right now, devs are really relying on Patreon. Because Patreon's what everybody knows how to use. You know how hard it is for people to move platforms. It's like telling everybody to move from YouTube. There's still a lot of people that will not move from YouTube. And that's a problem. I get more subscribers and everything on YouTube than I do here. Just doing the comic books, right? So, I mean, that's just the reality of it. I mean, I can't do anything about it. That's literally what where everybody's at. I wish they would go to other platforms, but you know, it's not working that way. People are really struggling right now if on the other platforms or on the main platforms, because again, those are more restrictive. So then you lose your subs, and then of course the other ones don't have that many people, so you don't get that much anyway. You don't really get anything out of it to begin with. So it's rough. If you want to try to make a business out of any of this, you're pretty much fucked. There was a dev that made six figures. It basically said, look, if I don't get some money on this, I'm going to have to find another career. And this guy, he's made six or seven games, right? He made one of the more popular games in the AVN world. And again, six figures is nothing to laugh about. That's how much this guy was making. He was doing real good. And then all of a sudden, he did one thing he wasn't supposed to do. I'm not going to explain it. I explained it on the video we did. But basically, when he did that, boom, it's over. They basically told him, you cannot sell any of your products on itch.io anymore. So he's like, well, shit, I've got to put all my stuff on Steam. So now everybody's moving over to Steam, and you know what that means. Everybody has to comply with Steam's policy on these games. So it's going to be a real interesting time because everybody's moving. They're abandoning their games on itch.io. They're like, fuck it. I don't even want to mess with these people anymore. They're basically saying Steam is the whale, is what I've heard. Steam is the whale. We want all our games on Steam. So that's what's basically going on right now. It's a rough situation, guys. I don't want to get too far deep into the weeds on it, but yeah, it's definitely a real thing. And it's only going to get worse as Like, I mean, I want Trump in the White House, obviously. But a lot of people are going to try to use that Republican power, you know, to having that that person in there to try to push more anti-porn legislation. They absolutely want to do this. XBiz has constantly been reporting on everything they're trying to do, including bring back the COSA Act. They've brought back COSA, the Kids Online Safety Act. They brought that shit back. What that does is it allows governments and bureaucrats and president, you know, people like that to say, hey, we don't like this site. We think this is harmful to children, so we're going to sue the fuck out of you. That's literally what it does in the terms of what Electronic Frontier Foundation said. So they're doing a lot of really awful shit in the name of conservatism. Mm-hmm. And again, that's why I don't lean too far one way or the other. Now look, I talked with all those people in there, you know, porn, sex positive people. I said, look, I believe we do need regulation on this kind of material. I don't think
we have to do something about the kids having access to it.
Kids don't
not
need to
all
have
parents
access.
Know or have the time or even can read the language to know how to protect their kids. So we have to do something.
And, I mean, of course, we got into a little bit of a debate because one person was like, I was like, you know, I didn't really see hardcore porn growing up. And one's like, well, I lived in Missouri, Michigan, something like that, a town of 800 people, and I had some VHSs and saw it for the first time. And I'm like, okay. So, back in the 90s...
But that's different.
But back in the 90s, though, even the hardcore stuff that you saw... It's not like what they're seeing on Pornhub today.
No. It's, no. A hardcore back then was what they call softcore now, almost.
Right,
like,
right. Right, yeah. Absolutely.
Hardcore was basically 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah. Now it's way crazy.
Like, softcore back then was the stuff they show on TV now.
Yeah. It absolutely was. The stuff they show on TV now. Absolutely. So, I mean, it's a different situation. And a lot of these young men were saying, well, I was 10 years old. I found this material. I couldn't stop masturbating. You know, and you have to understand their brains are still developing. So they have no idea what's going on. They see, they get that urge. And... a lot of it has to do with, yes, that kind of material needs to be regulated if you're fucking 10 years old. I'm sorry. That's just, that's how it is. They should not be finding this material at that age. I was not looking for that material, this material at that age. So, you know, I was fine with, what, Pamela Anderson and the Pink Ranger. Okay? That was good enough for me. So... maybe some other characters, you know, Rogue from X-Men, couple, you know, different. We know what characters.
Xena, the Warrior Princess.
China, all that. But China was before I was. But when I was 10, it wasn't China. China wasn't a thing when I was 10. When I was a teenager, that's when the Attitude Era came in. And that's when... Yeah, so when I was a teenager... Yeah.
When we was 10, it was like the Undertaker.
Yeah, they were good too. But what I'm saying is, all right, basically, when I was a teenager and I was more interested in that kind of stuff, you know, that was okay. Like, again, when I was, you know, in that, you're going through puberty, you're actually wanting to get into that kind of stuff, that I don't feel is an issue. But I don't think people should be exposed to it at an age of prepubescence, which is usually... you know, birth to 12. They usually say birth to 12. You know, some people are saying,
you know, like if they find it, like,
yeah,
you know,
if they're willing,
well, see, back then it was like the mags and the VHSs and the DVDs. So you know, you'd like be cleaning the room and you'd find like your roommate, you know, you know, you'd be cleaning someone's house and you'd tell their parents like, hey, I found your son's stash.
Right. And we're not by means advocating anybody under 18 you know, access this material. But what I am saying is,
absolutely,
when I was a
not.
Younger person, I mean, sometimes a younger person finds this stuff because, you know, they're looking it out. They're looking for it. When I was 10, I wasn't actively searching out this material. I'm just going to be honest with you. I was worried about the Power Rangers and the Ninja Turtles and, you know, all those Batman, you know, X-Men, all those characters. That was my thing. That's Super Nintendo, you know, all that kind of stuff. I was into that. I was not worried about any kind of adult stuff. And again, that's why I'm saying when I got older, when I got to be, you know, an older man, I'm like, oh, wow, you know, she's kind of hot. This is cute. I'm looking for that stuff. Then it's okay. When you start to get that age where you're looking for that thing, it's fine. But we also have to really engage. If you are looking for that kind of stuff, is it better to have like what we had, where you had maybe pictures or some small videos, or do you want to find full-on hardcore HD 1080p crazy shit going on, right?
I don't think that they should be exposed to that first. I think that they should, like, if they find it and they find out that that's like how they lean,
right?
You know, in their preferences, in their sexual preferences, you know, then yeah, okay, they're an adult or close to an adult, they can, you know, talk about it with their parents, whatnot.
Somebody found,
but I don't
think
that that's the first thing they should be exposed to when they start their journey into their sexuality.
Somebody basically looked up the study, you know, what I was talking about, where those young men were saying that basically they were choking these girls and they weren't liking it. Well, somebody also said they found information mm-hmm. that proved that some of these girls were into it in a larger amount than what they thought. Okay, that being said, all right, so let's say 65% of them were in that. All right, that's okay. They found out they're freaks. Okay, it is what it is. However, we still have a percentage of women that were absolutely scarred and traumatized by the experience. So we have to really keep that in mind.
Correct.
And they may not want to, they may not feel safe around anybody after that. Because that guy really destroyed them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not his fault. It's because we didn't have a good enough education system to teach these young people about sex properly. And they went to porn. And when they found it, they're like, okay, so this is how I'm supposed to have sex, right? So, I mean, because they don't know anything else. They don't have anything to teach them different.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we have mm-hmm. the situation we had. And those poor girls, they probably end up with all kinds of problems, mental problems, stuff like that, because trauma creates a lot of problems in the brain, and anything can be traumatic.
Oh, yeah, sure does. Yeah, actually, literally anything.
Anything, literally anything.
But to bring this back a little bit, because we originally started talking about the video that you had sent me with the FBB.
Yeah.
What was her name
again?
We'll
go back to that.
Yeah. What was her name again?
Leaky Rose. Leaky Rose. I still don't know how to say her name all the way, unfortunately. Sorry if I'm butchering it.
Yes. And so, like, that was the second time you had sent me the female bodybuilder stuff. And I have found recently that, like, I am really turned on by them.
Right. More than I ever expected.
And more than I even expected. Like, I have been enjoying them so much. To the point that, like, I was showing my man, and I was like, oh, my God, look at this. And I was like, look at this, look at that. And I started pulling up videos and stuff, and I was like, I want to watch this. And it was so fascinating because all of a sudden, everything that I had experienced when I found out about, you know, him liking body types that weren't like mine, I watched him go through the same thing. And I'm not saying this with joy in any way other than it was the first time that he actually was like, wow, I actually know how you felt now.
Right.
And so, like, that was really cool to feel acknowledged and, like, to know that, like, he understands. But then it also opened up, like, it's just made everything better. I don't know. I don't know what to say, but it's just made out of it. I'm like, okay, you have your thing. You like that type of woman. I like this type of woman.
Right. Right. And wow. Like, completely like, polar opposites.
I can get better definition, but I'm not going to get any bigger because, you know, he's his size. I'm like, you're so adorable. I love you. You know, but yeah, it's so much fun. And thank you, Graham. Like, I had no idea that this was a thing. You were like, do you think you're leading? Because this was like the second time you sent me something. And I was like, oh my God, that's so freaking hot. And you were like, do you think you're leaning more towards girls? And I was like, no, but these ones, yeah. I was like, the muscles look so much better on them.
Wow, yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, I've talked to people from that community for a long time, you know. So I've got friends that entered into female bodybuilding. One of, oh, I almost said her name. I'm not going to because she literally just kind of gets like, oh, you know, no, I don't know. But I talked to her before she got into bodybuilding. Back when she was in a kind of a rut, she was like, oh, there's no good men and all that kind of stuff. And she just jumped into bodybuilding. And when she jumped in, man, I didn't know how far she was going to jump in. Like, she jumped in so far that she was like full-on competitor. Like, great. I was like, my God, right? And of course, I've got other friends that are female bodybuilders as well. I've got about 4 or 5 or 6. I mean, I don't even know. There's several that have been following me for years. And I've followed them because I've just been a fan of that sport. And I'm one of these guys that likes, you know, likes to promote them. And I've always been I've got the Olympia from 2012, the DVD of the Olympia from 2012. And I used to watch that a lot. Mm. Like, I used to love that kind of stuff. I used to love watching a lot of the shows. I've got a lot of the old stuff recorded. They used to do it on ESPN2 back in the day. They would have some of the shows. But that was the only place you could catch them. And, yeah, again, I followed, Iris Kyle for the longest time. And I actually met, I think I've talked about this before, but in the server for City of Broken Dreamers, I won't say the name of the professional, but one very famous, fetish BDSM now she does, a bodybuilder. I talked to her ex-husband for the longest time in there. I never expected to see somebody in an adult visual novel group that was dating and had been married, actually married, to a woman that I was like considered one of the biggest fetish models in bodybuilding history, female bodybuilding history. She's one, like, if I say her name, people are like, wow. Well, I mean, and I learned history about her. He was willing to tell me all kinds of stuff because, you know, at first he didn't want to say it, but then I kind of found out and he's like, oh yeah, you know, we'll talk about it. I'll tell you how we met and all this other stuff. And it was really cool learning. But you know what he did say, and I can say this, he said she was always very, very professional when it came to bodybuilding itself. Mm. She may do the fetish videos now, but when she gets in the gym, she's 100% about business. Like, you do not fuck around when that girl is in the gym. Oh, yeah. Because she's...
That's why I'm like, I don't get it. Why aren't men throwing their money at these women?
They are.
They actually work hard for
this. There's fans. You're getting more,
they deserve it. Holy
you're getting more
crap.
Muscle oh mommy God. Worship. It's called muscle mommy. I don't like the term muscle mommy, but it's what is sticking.
I don't like that term either.
But back in the day.
I don't like that term either. And it seems like most of the videos in that thread are like, you know.
It's always guys that want to be fully dominated.
You just took the mommy part out.
Well, it's the guys want to be dominant. Yeah. They want to be just. I don't. Yeah. I'm not into that because I'm a dominant. So I'm a dom. Like I could not be with so like I couldn't submit. It'd be like, and they literally said what happens when two doms get together? It's literally the WWE. I said, yeah, that's literally it. Two doms want to wrestle exactly each other. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds awesome to me. I love that. So that's my fucking thing.
Oh yeah, they have that. That's a whole thread too. Have you seen the wrestling porn video?
No, but I have heard. I think I may have one of them that I got a long, long time ago. It was, but they weren't really muscular type women. I don't know. I'll have to go look at the video again. But I know a friend of mine was very a former friend of mine was very interested in it. You know,
it's pretty fun. It's funny and it's fun. It's pretty cool. I like it.
Well, yeah. There's a lot of that kind of stuff, and I'm glad that you know you found something in all that. But it's been a part of my life since I was just a young man. Discovering this kind of stuff. You know, finding the anime versions of it very early on when it was very rare, and this wasn't something that a lot of people
I remember
were doing.
I remember this was something about you that I knew about, but I never like looked into it much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't know what happened recently. I guess
on
it's like
Facebook
the accessing and opening
point.
Up.
I was getting asked not to post so many pictures of them back in the day, so I did stop doing that. But on my own personal Twitter X, you guys are going to see that shit. And I mean, I've noticed like a handful of people may have dropped off, but for the most part, a lot have stayed on. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. Because some people, you know, I post whatever opinions I have, whatever things I like on there. I was like, okay, well, that's I like that, I'll post that. I like that, I'll post that. Sometimes I just, you know, post my hot takes on things and all that. It's whatever. I like the fact that Twitter X literally lets you respond to anybody's anything. And it's not just the people on, like, your friends list or whatever. So it's like, okay, well, I'm going to tell you what I think, random lady. And sometimes that doesn't work out too well. But sometimes it works out really well. And they're like, oh, you know, that's a great opinion. And of course, when I was talking to Leaky Rose about that that video that she made, I said, look, this generation is going to have a hard time telling the difference between, well, understanding the difference between fantasy and reality, right? You got your fetish fantasy and you got the reality of things, and it's going to be growing pains for this generation because we've got it more realistic than it ever has been. We're not talking about somebody drew a picture, we're talking about full-on videos and animation of very realistic looking people. It's going to be a thing where you put on your glasses and you're in a world with whatever. It's going to happen. Like, all that shit's going to happen. They've been working on it for a long, long time. It's going to be a part of life. And it's going to take a lot of people to understand, hey, this is reality and this is fantasy. And it's going to be really, really rough. And she agreed with me. She said, absolutely. She said, that's going to be the biggest part of this whole thing. You know, as somebody that's around her, she is around about my age, okay? She's in probably her 30s, 40s, something like that. So she understands, you know. Us older generation, we're still getting used to it, right? We're still getting used to all this new stuff that's coming down because it's mind-blowing to me. I've got this guy, he started out doing, like, really muscular, like, super muscular anime girls, right? With AI, just with regular programs, right? And he would try to do, in the past, some animated ones that would be okay, but they weren't perfect. You could tell it was flawed. And he's been posting stuff recently, and I'm like, wow, that's really cool. That's really good. Like, you got that, and it's only been like a few months. And I'm like, what happens in 2025 or 2026? I mean, we're going to have a full video where you're going to be talking with this freaking hulking woman that doesn't even exist, and you won't know she doesn't exist because you put on the glasses and it's like, well, you know. And I always thought to myself, I was like, maybe this is what a lot of the incel guys that are really having problems with the women right now. And I'm not talking about the ones that are trying to hit up the ones that are like, oh, I want a man with blah, 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 blah. But I'm talking about the normal ones, right? And they just don't even want to talk to them. They're scared to talk to the woman. They think the woman is just going to...
Yeah, I don't blame them.
And I'm saying, you put on your...
And your only hope is to just retreat in the country and escape this modernity.
Yes!
Well, but I like the idea.
At us, and most people won't go for that. But going back to my hometown recently, I have seen that there are some people who just, they don't care about modernity. The internet is...
Mm-hmm.
Right. And again, I respect every decision.
I even had a chick out there who was like, yeah, I came back to my hometown because I like being in the place where nothing happens. And right. I'm like, I didn't know woman came in this setting.
Right. I agree with that. And I think that's a good idea for people that absolutely want to do that. But for some of us, you know, like I said, I do like the digital world and all that kind of stuff. It's been, you know, something I was into.
What I mean is, it's the city more than the digital stuff.
I'm not in the city. But, yeah.
I'm happy in the suburbs, personally.
Do not come to the country. The country is crazy. There's wild people everywhere. There's wild men with no pants on and women with bras and teeth everywhere. Do not come. We do not want you here. Do not come to the country. Look, you will get eaten by animals or shot by somebody. Don't come here. Stay where you are.
Look, it's real simple. If you listen to country music, it's exactly as country music says.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is. It absolutely is. And there's, you can even AI generate songs.
No way hyperbole or sarcasm.
Yeah, you can even AI generate
something. Do not come to the country. You will most likely die.
I still remember that AI generated song I did about Duke Nukem. I'm just like, oh my god, that's just such a good song.
Most people, just the fact, most people have a better chance surviving the city with gang violence than surviving in the country. Okay, so don't come here.
Oh yeah, really? I like the country. I like the country. I don't have any problem with the country. I'd like to stay. I have to have a little mix of both, where the city's not too far, but it's far. You know, I don't want it too... I mean, I need it within a distance, right? So, basically, what I'm saying, though, is with technology, I said a lot of these incel guys, because I've been on Twitter looking at them, just reading their stuff, and some of the stuff, I'm like, is it really you? If you've asked out this many women, and you've literally asked out this many women... It's gotta be you. And they're like, oh, I'm just so ugly. And I said, oh, absolutely, that is a problem sometimes. There is some guy that's just super ultra mega, like, I don't know what happened. But yeah, that's a thing. That's a thing. But well, what I'm saying is, it's probably...
It's like, how many people are only asking out women out of their fucking league?
Yeah, yeah, and we were telling them that. And they're like, well, even ones that are crippled and crippled and disabled and all that. And I'm like, okay. So we asked the question, well, can we actually see your face? Men, women are asking, can we at least see and judge to see if you really are this damn ugly? And it's a real question. It's like, we just want to know, is it really, do you look like Mask? I mean, do you literally look like... Like, I'm looking up, you know, Rocky Dennison Mask. If you look him up, do you look like that? Because if you do look like that, we completely understand 100%. And we actually have sympathy for you at that state. Like, that's unfortunate. You truly are unfortunate. But, for the most part, these guys are like, well, I don't want to get doxxed. It was like... You're going to show us a picture of your face to see if you're not ugly. We don't want to know your phone number and all that other crazy crap. So it gets us to believe in some of these guys just want to have a victim complex. where they think they're so ugly, or maybe they just have some things that women just don't like as far as their personality goes. Maybe they just give off the wrong vibes. I don't know. I really don't know. But I guarantee these men, because I've seen some of these supposed incels in documentaries, and I'm like, I know guys that look like that that have had wives and have had girlfriends. So there's no way in the living hell a man can look like that.
If you're asking that many people out, the reason they keep getting rejected is because it's obvious that they're desperate.
Right. Right. And that was mentioned. Women can smell desperation.
If you're able to physically ask out that many women at that point, you're just a metropolis.
Yeah.
And there is a degree of detachment from reality that goes to everyone there.
Yeah. Facts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. But what I'm saying is
like,
maybe...
I know a bunch of chicks who just... they go to the big city in, like, a small state and think they're in California.
Yeah.
No, it's kind of ridiculous, because I've also met like dudes that have come from big cities into the country, and I swear I've never met men that believe they were such the biggest victims in the world.
That happens.
And they are white.
That happens.
I'm like, what?
That happens, yeah. I know what you're talking about. But what I was saying is this kind of technology could, in theoretically, help some of these young guys to overcome their confidence issues, where maybe if they talk to more attractive-looking women or get experience with AI talking to more attractive women, the brain will recognize, hey, I'm used to doing this in the virtual world. Now maybe I can do this in the real world.
There's, like, physical aspects one and two. The AI will just spit back what you give it. The AI isn't...
Right now.
Well, right now.
Challenge what you...
Right,
yeah,
right
that's what
now.
It does now, but...
But we're talking a little later on.
Only...
If...
Mm-hmm.
It's only going to follow the... This is the inherent limitation. It's only going to follow core directive programming.
That's true, but at any rate, it's all about
like,
being
you
familiar
have
with
an
something.
AI with
Coca-Cola.
Well, it's all about being familiar with something. That's what I think. You know, if you've done something enough times, like I like what Human said. Human said a long time ago, if you go in a VR world where you're Superman, you know, your body's got all these chemicals and things, adrenaline and stuff rushing through you, right? Because you're used to doing all this crazy stuff, and it's very realistic, and you can't really, you know, at the time your body or your brain, which is a very primordial machine, is basically like, okay, so I've done all these things, so you may have a little bit more confidence in general in society because, hey, you're used to doing all this kind of stuff, right? And sometimes that could be for the worse. Like, we could really see a change in the alpha generation, because that's going to be the generation this will be relevant to, where they're like, well, you know, oh, this guy's such an asshole. Well, you know, see, when I fight these aliens or whatever on planet whatever and blah, 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 blah. Because imagine all the games are virtual experiences. So these guys are used to going in there, suiting up, shooting all that. We're talking 2026, 2028, 2020, you know, something like that. Much in the future, 29, 20, 30, something like that. So these kids are all used to that. And when they're going around, they're like, they think they're the heroes, right? Because they've been the heroes for God knows how long in these games. And the brain says, oh, well, I've done all this. So you get this chip on your shoulder, and you might not even be but a 90-pound whatever, but I do all this, and you like this, and then he looks like, he acts like more of an asshole, right? Because he thinks he's Superman. It's like, he'd be a 90-pound Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's like, oh, look at me, but you won't believe it, I got such big muscles in the virtual world, though. You know, I mean,
will
that work with
call,
some people? I don't know.
This is what they call first world privilege.
I mean, will it work for some people? I don't know. We might have a lot of things where people are like,
yeah,
oh,
this is
I
what
don't,
I'm saying.
I,
this is what they call first world privilege.
It's
because,
like,
because, yeah, like, we live in such a way that we can live in fantasy and blur the lines.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right, because there's a lot of countries that absolutely won't have that ability. But what I'm saying is, we're going to probably have situations where the girl's like, oh, yeah, I know I don't look that great, but wait until you put me on, like, the VR world. I'm, like, super fucking hot. You won't believe it. It's amazing. And who knows? There might be a lot more VR sex or something like that. You might literally have couples that they're regular couples, but when they go to have sex, they both put on the VR headsets and do the thing because they want to have sex as, like, their little avatars and not as people because they're ashamed of how they look in the real world. And that might be a thing.
That's something like Blade Runner.
I know. Doesn't it, though? Yeah, it does sound like Blade Runner.
Like Blade Runner.
It does sound like Blade Runner. Exactly. We're getting there. We're really getting to that level because I'm seeing the transition. I'm seeing where people are going to start making this.
The more they keep us away from reality and from the center of ourselves, the easier it is for them to control the reality.
When I went to Terrifier last night, when I went to Terrifier last night, they advertised the Meta 3, and they're basically like, you want to be Batman? Yeah. Well, you can be Batman. And I'm like, and the dude's like, actually fucking Batman. And I'm like, well, damn. I mean, the graphics didn't look that amazing, but given time, they could. They're doing hyper-realism mods for a lot of these things. And eventually that's going to move into, you know, further into graphics. You know, we're making better and better graphics.
Didn't he warn about this? Like, imagine you get to a point where the games are so realistic that you literally can't tell the difference between
we're
the game and the reality.
We have that now. I saw a video of a modded Cyberpunk 2077 setup. It looked real.
Yeah, it looked like a real game. I'll show you that video,
yeah.
Empress.
And then it also reminds me of like the movie Avatar, you know? Like the
Cameron one,
Yeah, it reminds me of that. And it also makes me think, like, what if that's like actually the reality that we're living? What if like we're all consciousness is, what if the Matrix is real?
I mean,
we're actually angelic beings living a life through a virtual reality to learn lessons so that we can advance our spiritual beingness.
You're not the first one to have that theory.
I'll have to introduce you to a little known book known as the King James Bible sometime. But
King James Bible is not my favorite version, but it's pretty good.
Well, it's the version. But anyways, yeah, I think...
The Orthodox Church has the original. The Ethiopian Orthodox Church has the most closely original source.
Let's not argue over the Bible.
Yeah, I think, though, people are going to... they're not even going to meet the meat space people. They're just going to meet the role play persona digitally, and they're never going to interact. People are just going to hermit up more and more. You're going to have people they're either going to settle for the mental false reality, or they're just going to use all this physical augmentation and just do the manosphere, grind up, look better, get the plastic surgery.
Yeah, okay, but then we still have the Dalai Lama.
That's true, but he's not going to be around forever.
But then the next one's going to be here, and the next one, and the next one. And look, I'm just saying that there's always going to be people who are going to be like, you know what, this fake reality is not cool with me. And
that is true.
Yeah, I just don't believe that it's all going to be so super.
No, it won't be.
Faith in humanity.
It won't be everyone. It will not be everyone, especially older farts. Older farts aren't going to do it, trust me. I'm thinking some of this stuff could be cool, but at the end of the day, like, if I'm, like, playing a game, I'm still, like, into the screen version. And that's, and these kids, because I've talked to them, I'm now the old man, they said, if you talk to kids now, like, the young man told me in college, he says, kids now, what we play is always online multiplayer. He says, we don't, he said, I haven't played a single player, single campaign game in many, many, many years. He said, I don't even touch them anymore. They're not what I'm into. Mm-hmm. And I said, they said, I'm playing old man games. That's
socialization now.
They say, I play old man games. That's what they told me. I said, well, because they asked, what do you guys play? What do you play? Oh, I play, Bubba. Oh, you play those single player old people games. I said, yeah, I do. I play those single-player old guy game. And they were being realistic. These guys are just saying, yeah, because what they do is they all go good in there, and they play basketball digitally, and they play football or Call of Duty or whatever else, whatever kind of big game is out. That's what they're playing online. I mean, that's fine. If that's how they want to do it, that's fine. But I'm going to be that old fart that might still want to play a Nintendo game at the age of 80. And I don't want to say anything. And when I say Nintendo, I mean a game that the Nintendo would be on, because I've got a lot less respect for Nintendo after what Tack sent me. I read that.
Oh, yeah, that's probably not even the only thing they've done there.
Oh, you're talking about how they're always misrepresenting and lying about copyright law?
Oh, my God. I read all that, and I'm like, wow, that was... That helped me get through a lot of my pain.
Yeah, they maxed out the whole bingo card with pissing off the fans this week.
Well...
The Game Freak hack is retaliation for the... Power World lawsuit.
It is, and I'm glad to see that, you know, the lore that I always believed Pokemon had turned out to be a reality. Because I knew it! I fucking knew it! So, for those of you that don't know, the Pokemon lore, basically, this is real. This is official Game Freak lore, if you are a Pokemon fan.
It's just not in the games, because obviously, for reasons that will become obvious.
It's not in the game, because
it should be.
According to the lore of Pokemon, so a lot of humans in Pokemon had little flings. There was sex between humans and Pokemon. There were human and Pokemon hybrids.
Because apparently the boundaries were blurred, whatever that means.
I don't know why y'all
surprised. Well, I mean, people are arrested for gang raping a rare lizard to death. So,
well,
like,
that was in India. That was in India, but what I'm saying here, that nothing like that's really going on in Japan.
It's still human.
I know that, but I'm saying nothing like that's really going on in Japan. But this kind of thing doesn't surprise me, because Pokemon were originally inspired by yokai. And it's very... it makes a lot of sense, because yokai, of course, they're spirits that are very pop, big deal in Shintoism. You know, a lot of Japan is Shinto. So basically, you have the yokai, and the yokai would have relations with humans, and they would have children that are yokai and human.
Whoa.
So basically, that's literally all the Pokemon were, yokai.
I guess you could call it that. I don't know what the Japanese term of yokai human hybrid would be.
I'm not sure. I don't know either. I'd have to ask somebody that knows more about Japanese culture
than
I do. I've got about 50,000.
Onyo?
Okay.
Yes, kind of, sort of. But technically, Onyo's mom is a goddess, and her dad is like, what is her dad? Some sort of, isn't he like the god of the sea or something?
Honyo is just the reference for
Honyo.
Eating.
Oh, Honyo. Okay.
So does that mean...
Yeah,
that
but, like,
stuff...
her mom is, like, a sea spirit, and her dad is, like, some sort of wizard that lives forever under the ocean.
I wonder if this...
I guess it's not.
...crap stretches to Yu-Gi-Oh! And
anyways,
all that.
Sorry.
Like...
No, I'm a big fan of Hayao Miyazaki. I love Hayao Miyazaki.
But, the Game Freak... should surprise anyone. Like,
no.
There was that one chick in one of the newer Pokemon games that had BDS gear or BDSM gear under her damn clothing.
Oh yeah,
I know who you're talking about.
The reason why they're doing that
one
is
chick
because
from Sword and Shield.
That franchise has been.
Yeah, I know, because they're. You know why they're doing that? Because the people that grew up with it are getting older.
Yeah, and
we gotta keep it spicy. Oh, remember when the Rugrats did their they did the Rugrats Get Older show?
Oh, all grown up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was so bad.
Oh, but the whole thing with humans and Pokemon being together romantically, that was actually in the Japanese version of the original Diamond and Pearl.
Really?
It's just toned it down for the English version because of obvious reasons.
I mean, it all makes, it, that, now everybody and knows also, the truth.
I would also say in general, even the Japanese saying it is toned down, so it's two layers of toned down.
Yeah.
It's like, they can push a certain boundary, but they're not going to officially cross that line and just let you imagine whatever.
Right.
Yeah, or if they do try, then obviously the higher-ups at, like, Nintendo and the other parts of the Pokemon Company are going to be like, nope!
Well, I mean, that's like with Ease, because you can tell that somebody, people are sleeping with each other.
One of the Pokemon games flopped, Nintendo took them out in the shed and gave them a metaphorical beating with literal baseball bats.
So Falcon,
I just can't get over these gigantic clitorises. Like, have you guys seen them?
The what? Gigantic tortoises.
Yeah. No, clitorises.
What?
Yeah, from the SCBs. Have you seen them? No, they have the... Man, these things are...
I don't think I want to. No.
It's really cool.
But, yeah, what I was saying... What I was saying is, like, they do that in a lot of games, but they are starting to, like, open up a lot more, like, with the Falcon games, of course. A lot of people have noticed the relationships and all that. And with Ease, which was technically a very, like, bare-bones series, like, it was kind of like Falcon Zelda, in a way. Basically, you know, in Ease 8, you know, everybody was on an island. And you knew that people were sleeping with each other because everybody had, you know, rooms in the cave. That's where they would go to bed. So there was, they drank a lot in that game. There was a lot of drinking. And basically everybody got fucking completely messed up. And I am pretty sure that Adol fucked Donna at some point in that game. It's
weren't
not
the
saying
Ease
it.
Games always more for like an older audience compared to Zelda anyway?
Not exactly. Because the Ease games, I mean, the early ones weren't that bad, but it wasn't until later when they really got, you know, heavy with the dialogue, you know, post when the Trails game started kicking off, and then they wanted to make them dialogue heavy. That's when stuff started to get more mature because Trails was more mature. They had mature, yeah. So they, and I'm like, okay, cool. So they're making RPGs for adults, kind of. And what I mean, I don't mean there's sex in them. I mean that there's more talk of people's sexuality and relationships and things like that. It's not just they went to camp and nothing happened. You know, I was like, dude, they went to camp so many times. You're telling me nothing fucking happened in Breath of Fire. Nothing happened. Chrono Trigger. Nothing happened between Chrono and Marl. Nothing. I'm not buying it.
Funny you mentioned Chrono Trigger. In the Super Nintendo version, they did that, you know, when they're in, like, the prehistoric times?
Yeah.
I think in the Super Nintendo version, it was like an eating contest. But it was actually, but in the Japanese original and the newer translations, it's a drinking contest.
Oh, wow.
They're getting blackout. They got blackout drunk.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad that they're bringing that stuff back because people need to experience these games the way they need to be. And I was arguing with some idiot.
Well, my experience with Chrono Trigger was the DS release, so that was basically the uncensored version.
Yeah, it was. So basically, people are wanting to change this stuff so much. I got into an argument with a guy that said Mega Man needs to be changed back to Rockman. And I said, it's been 40 years. Can we just leave it as it is?
They can't really... At this point, they have to keep the... I don't even know why they changed it to begin with. Maybe
they did because
apparently
it was a, in the 80s, it was a drug, Rockman was kind of like a drug. It was a they thought it might be like a relationship.
Oh, that would do.
Yeah.
But like you said, it's been 40 years. They can't change it now because people would be like, what the hell?
Same thing with Biohazard. If they change Biohazard or Resident Evil back to Biohazard.
I believe with Biohazard, the reason they changed Resident Evil was actually a trademark thing.
Oh.
I think it was trademark, because I know... Because it's happened... That's like a tale as old as time.
I did
not know. Trademark issue happens, something has to get renamed in a certain region.
Yeah.
Did you know that in Power regions, you know, Europe, Australia,
mm-hmm.
Star Fox, the first Star Fox game was called Starwing?
Yep.
It's because over there was already a game called Star Fox, so it was trademark issues.
Okay.
And the Star Fox 64 in those regions was called Lilat Wars.
It wasn't until
Star Fox Adventures that Nintendo sorted out the trademark issues,
mm-hmm.
and so they were able to call it Star Fox everywhere.
Okay. So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But, yeah.
Yep.
So, it's been very interesting, sort of, you know... Basically, I guess since I'm here and we can still talk, I might as well talk about the Terrifier experience I had. So I went to go see it in the theater. This is the first movie I saw in the theater of the series. The other two I just watched. I downloaded and watched. And,
Didn't the original two have VHS releases? Because
yeah, they did.
I guess horror movies just work better on VHS.
So, the thing about these movies is... Okay, so yeah, they're extremely gory, but there's a reason for that, because... Alright, so everybody that watched 3, they came in at Return of the King. Like, seriously, that's the best way to explain it. They watched Return of the King before The Fellowship. So, it's like watching Return of the Jedi
it is a continuing story.
Yes, and let me tell you how much it continues. You have your first movie, right? Your first movie, Terrifier, it's just a generic kind of... It's a different kind of slasher, but it's a slasher. It introduces one character's backstory that plays a bigger role in the third one. That's how deep this is. Yes. And I mean large role. Yes, this is all mapped out. It's ending with 4. So basically, then you had your second movie. And the second movie introduced the final girl, the one with the power, the one that was able to actually, you know, win. And it basically demonstrates what Damien Leone was trying to do. He was trying to do a good versus evil, a angels versus demons kind of thing, right? Because they were really alluding that Art was a demonic clown, right? He was demonic, and of course the little girl was an evil demon spirit, right? She's evil. So basically, the girl that fights, she's symbolic of an angel. She's got angel wings, she's got a flaming sword. You know, they basically wanted to do that. So the reason why he's so gory and so horrifying is because he wanted to show what a real demon would be capable of. And you have to realize that if we're thinking about a real demon, we've got to look at every atrocity of humankind. We've got to look at the most gory, disgusting, terrible, horrible things. You know, 3 even has terrorism in it. There's a bomb in the movie. And it kills a whole bunch of people. And it's considered a terrorist attack. They say that on the television. And I'm like, good, that all fits. Because terror is also a form of horror. Like, it's a terrible thing. That shows the most depraved instincts of humankind. So, basically, Art's the very first character that I have seen in the horror genre to commit a terror attack. A actual terror attack. Like you'd see from the Boston Marathon bombing. That's exactly what they were trying. And it fits, because all that stuff is evil. We see that stuff as terrible, horrible things. And the horrible torture and all the just terrible things that he does are demonic. Now, the thing that makes it kind of interesting is it's also a throwback to silent comedy, like Charlie Chaplin. Because remember, Freddy Krueger was all about one-liners. Funny things that he would say. Art doesn't say anything. So what he does do is he uses expressions, just like Charlie Chaplin would back in the 1920s. And people are laughing at these. Like, there's this one girl that's really interested in art, and he's like, oh, do you want to fuck him? And she's like, no, I don't want to fuck him. And all of a sudden, Art's listening, like he's up there next to a door, and you just see, like, a frown. He's just like, then he walks off. You know, it's just funny stuff like that. Because, again, he can't speak. He's never spoke. They even have a scene where she grabs his balls and he can't say anything, but he opens his mouth up wide like, ah! It's cool that people are laughing at this because it shows that a form of humor that hasn't really been popular since the days of Charlie Chaplin in the 1920s is still viable over 100 years later. And it has been 100 years since the 1920s. So that is really cool. And the fact that this guy went to do that, the fact that this guy decided to do that for this character, it's awesome. Basically, Terrifier is lightning in a bottle. And he knows he needs to end it quick, because if he doesn't end it quick, it's going to be ran through the roof, and it's not going to be good anymore. There's a reason why it made $18.35 million. I will say it's not as good as the second movie. The second movie established the whole lore. So if you don't watch the second movie, you will have no idea what the fuck's going on at all in that film. Mm. Yeah, it's that bad. And people are like, well, I didn't feel any... Of course you didn't feel anything for the characters. You didn't watch them before when they were first established. I mean, the thing about the movies is when the first one ends, the second one picks up 5 minutes after. And then after that...
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and then of course... So, this isn't really a spoiler, but the first 15 minutes of Terrifier 3 are basically dresses up like Santa Claus and murders an entire family. Okay, so there's nothing to that. There's no point to that whole scene. It's just there for... It's like it's a dummy filter, you know. He basically said, okay, this is how fucked up this movie's gonna get. If you can't handle this, this is the time to walk out of the theater. That's basically why they did that. But then the movie...
I very much appreciate producers and people who do this, because I have been known to not be able to sit through violence.
Oh, yeah, it's very hardcore.
So, thank you.
So...
For giving us a warning ahead of time so we can get out.
After all that happens, after the Terrifier 3 logo comes out, then the movie technically starts up. And it starts up the same way. 5 minutes... after the original, or excuse me, the second film. 5 minutes after. So, there's not a whole lot of Santa stuff. Like, people were expecting a lot of Santa stuff. There's not a whole lot of that. But, I mean, it's all tying, it goes from one to one to one to one. And you have to really watch them all, because they're all one big movie. They're literally, and this movie's 2 hours long, right? It's a little long for a horror movie. And people said it needed to be longer because there were some things that they rushed. And I agree, there are some things that they rushed. They really tried to bring it to a conclusion too quickly. And there was a lot of things that didn't get shown. Like, we saw people just completely massacred, but we never saw them die. We never saw what happened to them. So I'm like, okay, what happened? Are we going to get a director's cut? How's this going to work? But he's already working on 4. And, you know, it ended on a cliffhanger. It ended on a cliffhanger that let Art live. They didn't even kill Art. He got the sword stabbed through him. And he's like, okay, fuck this. I'm going to jump out through the window, because they brought... that one character back I told you from the first one, they made her the main villain. And this pissed me off, because it's supposed to be about Art, not her. But she was the one that did all the speaking and all the crazy stuff, while Art was kind of in the back as a henchman. I did not like that. Because it's like, if you want to go see Jason, but there's some guy named, I don't know, Ben, that's talking for Jason. And you're like, okay, now Jason, he's like, okay, Jason, now I need you to do this. Jason, I need you to do that. That's awful. It's like, I thought this was supposed to be a Jason movie. Who's this Ben guy? And they're like, oh, well, yeah, she's really important. Okay, well, she can be really important in another movie. Like, I'm sorry. Like, that's the thing. If I go to see Freddy, I want to see Freddy. If I'm going to see Terrifier, I want to see Art. I don't want to see whoever you are, okay? She talked for 30 fucking minutes. That's what I mean. I watched a whole damn, that whole last scene that people say, oh, it's amazing. No, it's her fucking talking for 30 minutes and doing horror shit because Art can't talk. You know, he's a mime. He can't speak. So she has to do all the speaking. I think I see why they did it, but I'm like, man, they could have come up with something better than this. So I didn't really like it as much as the second one. And yes, it got $18.5 million. I'm glad it did that. But yeah, guys, it's not my favorite of the three. So
I wonder if he could have made it like an internal dialogue that the audience was privy to instead of having like an external speaker on his behalf.
Yeah, I don't know. See, I think it's because he knew he was limited. He had to do the scene, but he didn't know how he was going to do it. You know, Damien Leone, he's not that, you know, he's made a few films over the years, but he's not this guy with like a huge swath of expertise of filmmaking. He doesn't have like, he doesn't have all these years and years and years and years of films that he's made. He's only made the Terrifier series and a couple small short films before that, that were basically on the Terrifier character. It was on Art, but they were called All Hallows Eve and another one. And they're very short, low budget films, so they're not, you know, that much. But he doesn't have like these, he doesn't have the experience of other kind of film writers. And I think he's writing the script himself. So that also is an issue. Because if you're not an experienced script writer, sometimes your scripts might not be that good. You know? And a lot of people just signed on because they knew it was going to make a lot of money. And some people, I guess the audience doesn't care because they're like, gore, gore, gore. But they're not getting the point that there is supposed to be this arcing storyline. And if you even cut out a lot of the gore, which you, I mean, even with some of the storyline parts, you have to deal with gore. You know, it's still, I don't know if people would like it as much. If they cut out a lot of the gore in the thing just to focus on the story, I don't think people would dig it. So it's just a lot of people wanting to see the crazy shit that he's going to do, which makes sense. People like, it goes back to Rome. You know, people wanting to see gladiators die, you know. Ah, kill him, go out there. You know, that's kind of, you know, the bloodthirst that people have sometimes. But, yeah. It's a good, I mean, he is the best horror character we've had. And I don't want to say horror slasher, I want to say horror character we've had in a number of years. Like, he's definitely the best we got right now. Any of the Blumhouse, they said the Blumhouse movies haven't even made that kind of money. They've struggled to make more than $2 million. This one made $18 million. So, yeah, it beat every movie. It beat The Wild Robot, it beat Joker, it beat, of course it beat Joker. Joker's still in number three, by the way.
Joker's doing so bad that on the 24th, they're rushing it to digital.
Oh, I didn't even know that. The 24th of this month?
Yes. Yes.
Jesus.
It will have only been in theaters for 25 days, and it's already hitting digital.
Now, Beetlejuice is still doing well. Beetlejuice did $490 million. And it was rushed. Yeah. It was rushed, but it was good. And, of course, Michael Keaton. Now, this was funny. I was reading on Twitter. I said, this is the second time that Michael Keaton has beaten the Joker.
I saw you retweet that.
Yep, Michael Keaton and Beetlejuice beat the Joker again. And he said, I'd do one of these every year. And I'm like, yeah, I wish they would do another one. Because we never got to find out what happened with Monica Bellucci's character. They did all that stuff, and they put all that build up, and It didn't feel right. It felt like the whole stupid movie was.
What would
rushed.
They call the third? If they did a third Beetlejuice, what would they call it? Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice?
Yeah, and it would have the baby Beetlejuice, which actually is on sale now. I just found. I was walking through the store, and I was like, oh wow, we got the baby Beetlejuice now. Oh yeah, it's been. I love this time of year. I love this time of year. But there's a thing I don't like, and that's a couple months after this time of year. Because after this time of year, we get into Christmas. And if you work retail, you know it's hell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I work retail. Mm-hmm. It's absolute fucking hell. I don't want to deal with Christmas.
Just even shopping during Christmas is like,
No, God. Agreed. It's like Grand Central Station. You wait in line forever. And self-checkouts don't really matter. You're still going to wait in line forever. Because somebody decided...
That's why people just buy off Amazon and other store sites. Because, yeah.
Can't blame them.
Nope.
That's why back in the day, the 24-hour Walmarts were the best. Because I could go at 2 a.m. when everyone else was asleep.
And then COVID killed the 24-hour Walmart.
Well, there was a reason for that. It wasn't just COVID. It was because they were getting a lot of reports of theft and strange people walking in. There was one person that reported a customer had chased down the manager with a knife.
Yeah,
it got to that point. And they're like, oh, we can't leave these open anymore. And since where I'm at, you know, there's this major casino. I don't want to see the riffraff at that time of night. I'm glad that at a certain hour they start closing everything down and people start going home or wherever they're going.
Brandon, this was 20 years ago and I was living in a town of less than 25,000 people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I get you. Man, we used to get stoned and go to Walmart all the time at 3 in the morning and play with the carts. Oh, yeah, I remember we had one time, I was pushed in one of the carts. I actually jumped in one of the carts, and one of the guys like, all right, I'll push you. And they would push me in one of the carts, and it was a lot of fun late at night when you're blasting music and everything. I remember those days. But, yeah, it had to be done because, yeah, you know, there's teenagers like us at the time. But then there were actual dangerous people, like people that were going to go in there and do some horrible things. And that's mm-hmm. what you ran into. And unfortunately, my area has a big meth problem. And you get a lot of these crazy meth heads that come out at night and they start shit.
But I'm pretty sure all Walmarts now... close at 11 now. I don't know about other
yes,
stores.
Yes, all of them at 11. And by the way, me and DP went to one that was close to, what the hell was it? We went to one that was, where the fuck? I can't remember what area we were in, but it was in one of the cities around here. And basically, they had everything locked up. Like, they pretty much locked up everything. And we talked to the girl at electronics, and she said, we've constantly had people stealing things. It's like, theft is just, it's just gone up. People are stealing everything.
I haven't actually been to a Walmart in a while. I should probably go next time.
It's all closed up, man. Everything's all closed up. You gotta ask for the key to everything. And it's the most annoying thing in the world now. Because all these...
I remember, it was just electronics that had... And the guns, obviously, that were locked up.
Oh, God, mm-hmm. now it's everything. They've got some stores where the clothes are locked up. They have to lock up the boxers. Yeah, it's...
That's insane.
Yes, it's...
That's insane.
It's gotten bad. It's,
you know what that's going to end up doing? Is that you got to fly... Oh, wait. There's one more thing I remember being locked up. The booze. Well,
that's not locked up. Not where I'm at. Oh, yeah.
Apparently, because I'm here at Walmart. You got to find someone down to unlock the food. If you want to get, like, a bottle of bourbon.
We don't have that. Oh, no, sir. We don't have that.
I'm in
we
Illinois.
Just got regular
there are no dry counties in Illinois.
We got beers.
The Midwest is like the most alcohol-friendly area region of the country.
Okay, we got beer and wine coolers. We don't have real liquor.
No Yankee land.
I can get Everclear 190 at Walmart.
I'll bet you can.
I don't know what that is.
That's really strong shit. That's
190 proof Everclear?
It's really strong shit.
No, I don't need that because the moonshiners get me shit that's way better.
That's true. There's nothing crazier than moonshiners. Yeah. Damn near rubbing alcohol.
Shaper too, probably.
You know what's so crazy to me?
What's so crazy to me is you see all these southern grannies, right? And you think they're just the sweetest, most innocent grannies you've ever met. And then you get to know their family, and you come to find out that they're criminals, and you're like, oh, snap, granny is OG. I love it.
Criminals,
I mean like moonshiners, which isn't a crime anymore. Okay, just to be clear.
Here's something I found out, under Missouri law, you are legally allowed to operate a still as long as you're over 21.
I'm pretty sure that there's been recent regulations, like, I don't know if it was national or what, but I remember not that long ago reading something about they decriminalized operating stills for independent people.
In Missouri law, they can't regulate it for those over 21. Obviously, as long as you're not selling the stuff, obviously that's different. We're talking just distilling for personal consumption. This is legal. Yeah. In Missouri, it's as legal as brewing your own beer or fermenting your own wine or mead.
Yeah, I didn't know that distilling was still illegal.
It isn't much. Yeah, it might be federally, but it is in a lot of states, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. Okay. Well. We've had a hell of a...
It is federal. Okay.
We've had a hell of a conversation.
Is illegal federally?
Federal law strictly prohibits individuals from producing distilled spirits at home.
I never met no granny that did no distilling, nowhere, no way, no how. I don't know what I was talking about. I don't know what that was.
The old grannies don't mess around.
No, they don't. Look. Even though it's illegal, don't. They ain't gonna stop granny. She ain't worried about it. So,
I love the grannies though.
She ain't worried about it. Absolutely.
Oh, those grannies can be savage.
Yes.
Did you guys see these two grannies that got arrested for trying to, they were trying to catch feral cats to get them spayed and neutered?
Oh, yeah.
And the police arrested them?
Yeah.
Was it Florida?
No. I think it was some Yankees place.
Some Yankees place.
Well, no, I just asked Florida because all the crazy shit happens in Florida.
Well,
we have Florida. This is why I tell you, do not come to the country. Okay? Florida man is a real thing, and there's also a Florida woman. And she's got pointy teeth, and she wears nothing but a bra.
Yeah, I know.
So don't come here.
I already know. That's Arkansas woman, too. That's Arkansas woman, too. I'm Florida man.
You know, the Midwest actually has a state that rivals Florida in crazy crap. Wisconsin.
Oklahoma?
Wisconsin.
Oh, I thought... my second guess would have been Ohio. Skibbity.
Maybe them two.
Skibbity, Ohio.
All right, well.
You're a solid touch. You don't know nothing. You don't know Skibbity, Ohio?
Oh, I thought that was the damn Zoomer slang shit. But,
Yeah.
All right. We've had a hell of a conversation. But I gotta get off here. I've got a lot of other shit to do because I was in so much fucking pain that I have to really rev up and do this. And then I can go back to playing my Ease Nordics demo, which is probably, well, I don't know. Maybe I don't want to play that. I said I wanted
to. I'm going to go back to looking at these photos that Grim sent me.
Hey, I ain't saying shit. I don't know. I don't know nothing about none of this. Yeah. All right. I'm out. We'll see you guys next time on the episode. All right. I'm out.